When you watch the evening news on television and you witness all the horrible things going on in the world today, do you ever feel like asking, what on earth is God doing? Does He know what is going on? Does He care? Is evil going to triumph? And if God really is in charge, why doesn't He do something? For the answer to these and other questions that relate to God's plan for the ages, stay tuned.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope. I'm Dave Reagan, founder and director of Lamb and Lion Ministries, and this is my friend and colleague, Dennis Pollack. This week, Dennis is going to do something he has long desired to do on this program. He is going to turn the tables on me by asking me questions about a new book of mine that has just been published. In other words, Dennis is going to take over the role that I usually play in interviewing other people. On this program, he is going to grill me. So, Dennis, it's all yours. All I ask is that you just have some mercy for me.
Well, I may try a little bit, but I can remember some times where you weren't too merciful.
Well, so. That's true.
All right, folks, a new book of Dave's has just been published. It's called God's Plan for the Ages. The subtitle is The Blueprint of Bible Prophecy. In 1993, Dave's book, The Master Plan, was published. It was an introduction to the fundamentals of Bible prophecy. The book proved to be very popular and was ultimately printed in many different languages, including Russian, Polish, Hungarian, Spanish, Urdu, and Hindi. In the year 2000, Dave decided to revise the master plan. His revision turned into a major rewriting. Not only did he rewrite all the chapters in the original version, he added a total of 21 new chapters. Because the book was so thoroughly redone, he decided to give it a new name. Thus, the new title, God's Plan for the Ages. Dave, let's start with the title. Okay. Does God have a plan for the ages?
Well, yes, He does. And I try to go into detail about that in the book. In fact, that's what the book is all about. That's why I gave it that title. I talk about the fact that God has a plan of salvation for all of mankind, whereas throughout much of history, it appeared He was primarily focused on the Jews. He was just preparing them for a plan of salvation that would apply to all the nations of the world, all the peoples, Jew and Gentile alike. So I talk about that in God's eternal plan of salvation, that He does not wish that any should perish, but all should be brought to repentance.
Right.
I talked about His plan for the church. He has a very definite plan that He has for the church, that he has a day is coming when Jesus is going to appear. It's going to be the shout of an archangel, the blowing of a trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to be resurrected, the living in Christ, and I hope I'm going to be one of those, or going to meet Him on the way up, not even experience death. We're going to get glorified bodies. We're going to reign with the Lord over this earth in peace, righteousness, and justice. And boy, it's exciting. And most Christians do not know much about the plan that God has for the church, how we're going to be scattered all over this earth in glorified bodies and reigning over those who are in natural bodies. He has a plan for Israel. And that comes as a big shock to many people because the church has taught for almost 2,000 years that God washed His hands of Israel and the church has replaced them. No, God still has a plan for Israel. And one day when Jesus reigns on this earth, the Jews who have been saved, who have come to Him and accepted Him as Messiah, are going to be the prime nation of the world. And they're going to, the blessings of God are going to flow through the Jewish people out all over this earth. He has a plan for creation. He is going to redeem all of creation and put it back in the perfection in which He originally created. And He has a plan for eternity. That's why 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 is one of my favorites. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has the mind of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But the next verse says, He has revealed those things through His Spirit.
Well, Dave, the introduction to your new book is titled The Gate to Prophecy. What does that refer to?
Well, that refers to an incident in my life that got me interested in Bible prophecy. You see, Dennis, as you well know, I grew up in a church that really did not emphasize Bible prophecy, and in fact, they scoffed at second coming prophecy, spiritualized it all, so it didn't mean what it said. So I went to church for 30 years and did not know really anything about Bible prophecy. In 1967, I was a professor of international law and politics, and of course, in that capacity, I was following world events very carefully, and when the war broke out in Israel, in June of 1967, I was following it daily in the newspapers. And as you know, on June the 7th, 1967, the Jews conquered the city of Jerusalem for the first time in 1,897 years.
Awesome
what a day that was. And so the next day I'm reading an article about this, and it says that the commando group that broke into the gate that day, St. Stephen's Gate or the Lion's Gate, had first thought about breaking into the Eastern Gate, and that there was a debate among them. They were going to blow open the Eastern Gate. It was a gate that was sealed.
Right.
And there was an Orthodox Jew in the group, and he said, "You will do that over my dead body because that gate must remain closed until the Messiah returns." And I thought, what in the world are these guys talking about?
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't know that the Eastern Gate was closed. Secondly, I didn't know there was a scripture said it was going to be closed and would remain closed until the Lord returned. So what I did is I went to the Bible and I got a concordance and I looked up the word gate.
Uh-huh.
And I started searching the scriptures because I didn't know anything about this. And so, lo and behold, I come to Ezekiel 43 and 44. And there it says that the Eastern Gate will one day be closed, and the Eastern Gate will not be reopened until the Messiah returns. So then I went to history books, and I started, well, what's going on here? Found out that of all the gates of Jerusalem, only one is closed, and no one really knows for certain why it's closed. That's the Eastern Gate. We've been there many times.
Yes.
I photographed you in front of that gate, too.
That's right.
But it was closed 500 years ago by Suleiman the Magnificent when he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And no one knows for certain why it was
just
closed.
Just that one gate was closed.
It was just the one gate. And they think it was because a rumor swept the town that the Messiah was coming, and he said, "What's this Messiah?" And they said, "He's going to come in here and run you out of town." So he bricked up the gate.
Yeah,
Whatever the reason, it was bricked up just as prophesied in Ezekiel 44, has remained that way unto that day, to this day. And Dennis, that's what got me interested in Bible prophecy, and that's why I call the introduction "The Gate to Prophecy." It led me into a study of God's prophetic word, and I've been excited about it ever since.
Dr. Reagan's book, God's Plan for the Ages, contains a comprehensive overview of all aspects of Bible prophecy. It's written in an easy-to-understand, down-to-earth style that you'll find appealing. In addition to all the prophecies concerning the first and second comings of the Messiah, it deals with a host of other prophetic questions, such as, what happens when you die? What will heaven be like? What's the future of the earth? Where is the United States in prophecy? When is the rapture most likely to occur? Is the Antichrist alive today? Are there signs of the times that are unique to our day and age? The book contains a variety of charts and diagrams which illustrate various aspects of Bible prophecy. The book is available for a gift of $15 or more. To get a copy of it, please call 1-800-225-7977 and request a copy by name. God's Plan for the Ages. That number again is 1-800-225-7977. The book contains 42 exciting chapters about Bible prophecy and runs a total of 415 pages. Again, it can be yours for a gift of $15 or more. Call 1-800-225-7977 today and request a copy. Consider ordering an extra copy for your pastor or church library.
Well, Dave, the first section of your book is entitled Prophetic Significance.
That's right.
And in this section, you discuss such topics as the importance of prophecy, the abuse of prophecy, the range of prophecy, the
interpretation.
Mm-hmm. All these different things. And in this section, you've included a new chapter that has to do with prophecy and evolution. So my question is, what in the world does a chapter on evolution have to do with a book on prophecy?
Well, I'm not surprised that you noticed that. It kind of jumps out at people.
Yeah.
I had several others say, what in the world are you talking about evolution for? But there's a very important reason, and that is that throughout the recent history, at least since the 19th century, Christians have tended to try to make the Bible conform to science. And the way they've done that, unfortunately, is to spiritualize the Genesis story. To say, well, it doesn't really mean 6 days. It means 6 million years or 6 billion years or whatever, you know, or there's that they spiritualize. They say it does not mean what it says. Now, Dennis, if you start out saying that the Bible doesn't mean what it says, where do you stop saying that?
All right.
And you can just take that same attitude and apply it elsewhere. The greatest abuse of Bible prophecy is the spiritualization of it. It's when people say it doesn't mean what it says, it means something else. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, they become God, because guess what? It always ends up meaning what they say it means.
Yeah.
And I heard that all my life. Bible prophecy doesn't mean what it says. And I didn't begin to understand Bible prophecy until I decided I was just going to take it for its plain sense meaning. And therefore, I think there's a big connection between the two. If you start spiritualizing the Genesis account, you'll probably end up spiritualizing a lot of other things. The miracles of Jesus, the deity of Jesus, spiritualizing things like Bible prophecy, the second coming, and so forth. I believe the Bible must be taken for its plain sense meaning from the beginning to end. I believe the Genesis story is exactly what happened. I believe God created in 6 days. Mm-hmm. And I believe that what the Bible says about the end times means exactly what it says. I say don't spiritualize any of it. Take it for its plain sense meaning.
Amen. Well, you know, in the second section, you've titled it Prophetic Issues.
Yes.
You deal with some of the more controversial issues in the field of Bible prophecy, things like the Jews and the Arabs in prophecy,
right.
The future of Jerusalem, the future of the church, the prophetic
yes.
future of the earth. Have you added any new chapters to this section?
Yes, I have. I added one on empires in
okay.
Bible prophecy. That was an interesting study on my part. And, of course, that is based primarily upon what Daniel had to say over in the book of Daniel, where he gave a prophecy about all of the empires that were going to follow the Babylonian Empire. In fact,
right.
people said he wrote history in advance better than most people have written it after the fact, going right down to the final empire of the Antichrist and then the empire of Jesus Christ that yeah. comes and destroys it. So I talk about that. I talk about the nations in prophecy. What does the Bible say about Russia in prophecy, the Arab nations in prophecy, Europe in prophecy, nations like that, because the Bible prophesies there will be a certain end time configuration that will come together in the end
mm-hmm.
times. And I talk about that. I talk about the United States in prophecy. Of course, I've written a whole book about that, but I've taken some things out of that and put just a very summarized chapter in to talk about the mystery of why it seems that we are not mentioned.
Everybody wants to know about the United States in prophecy.
Where are we? So I talk about that. I talk about Babylon in Bible prophecy. Is the end time headquarters of the Antichrist going to be Babylon, or is it going to be a mystery Babylon, which I believe might be Rome? And I talk about the arguments for both of those.
That's a big controversy.
That's a big controversy. And then I talk about the Antichrist. And I talk about where he might come from. I talk about what his nature is going to be, what his fate is going to be. And I talk about an interesting point I make in that chapter is that I believe that the Antichrist has always been alive. People always ask it, is the Antichrist
right.
alive today?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You hear that all the time.
And my response is, he's always been alive. And they say, what do you mean he's always been? Well, I believe that Satan has always had a candidate for Antichrist. Throughout all of history, he's had an individual in mind. And he knows Bible prophecy, but he doesn't know when God is going to move. So he has a candidate in mind waiting, and when God makes his move, mm-hmm. he will make his move and possess this person. So it could have been, you know, 10,000 different people throughout
yeah,
history.
He'll always have his boy ready for the job.
He's always got his boy ready for the job. I think he always has a candidate. Who knows? It may have been Hitler at one time,
sure.
may have been Mussolini, may have been Stalin, who knows? But he's always had a candidate ready, waiting for God to make his move.
Hmm.
Now, that brings us to another chapter in here, and that is probably the most controversial chapter in the book is in this particular section.
Okay.
And you well know what that is. That's the that's the chapter on hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Many people are absolutely intrigued by this chapter because most people are not aware of the fact that evangelicals, that is people who take God's Word seriously, believe it is the Word of God, and want to follow it as closely as possible, that evangelicals have two positions on hell.
Right.
One is the traditionalist view, and that is the view that those who go to hell will be consciously tormented throughout all eternity. The other view, which I talk about in this book that most people are not aware of, is called the conditionalist view. This is the view that says immortality is conditional, that the soul is not immortal,
mm-hmm.
that God alone is immortal, and that the gift of immortality to believers, for example, is a gift that is given at the time of the resurrection when they get their glorified bodies. They are given an immortal soul at that point.
But gift of eternal life.
Yeah. Until then, it's not.
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians says that in chapter 15, that when we're resurrected, we become immortal. But it never mentions immortality for those who are lost. In fact, the Bible often mentions that they will perish. It mentions that they will be destroyed. Jesus himself said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear those who can kill both the body and the soul in hell. So I point all that out, and I point out that both viewpoints have very good biblical basis, that you can take the Bible and make a great argument for both viewpoints.
But why'd God make it so tough?
Well, a lot of things He makes
That's
tough.
That's true.
It causes us to study.
Oh, yeah.
You know that bad word?
That dirty word.
That dirty word, study. So my conclusion is that I think the best evidence is that those who have been lost will be resurrected. They will be judged. They will be thrown into hell. They will be punished for a period of time in proportion to their sins and then suffer destruction. But I point out that the traditionalist viewpoint has some good biblical arguments.
So if God does it differently than you believe, you're not going to argue with Him.
I am not going to argue with Him.
Okay.
Thank you.
The third section of your book is entitled Prophetic Viewpoints. Now, what are you trying to accomplish with this section?
Well, I'm basically just trying to help people to understand the difference between the various prophetic viewpoints, between the viewpoint that called premillennialism, mm-hmm. amillennial, postmillennial. These things scare people to death.
Oh,
it sounds like you're speaking in tongues, you know. And they're really not all that difficult.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we put diagrams in the book to help them clearly understand what these viewpoints are and when they develop in history, because it's very interesting to see when they developed in history. And I point out that there's basically three fundamental viewpoints, and I try to explain them in detail and show how they agree and how they differ.
Okay. Now, what new chapters have you added to this section from the previous book?
Well, a number. One is on preterism. Now, preterism, that sounds like I'm speaking in tongues again. Preterism is a Latin word which means past tense, and this is a very strange viewpoint, Dennis, as you know,
mm-hmm.
that's become popular, had a fadism recently, and that is the viewpoint that the second coming prophecies were fulfilled in the first century.
It's all over.
Oh, it's all over. I mean that Jesus came and that's it.
Yeah.
That the second coming of Jesus was the pouring out of God's wrath on Jerusalem. It assumes that the book of Revelation was written before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. when all the evidence points to 95 A.D. It's a viewpoint that leaves you with no hope.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's become so popular recently that I decided to write a whole chapter about that.
Oh, that's
I
great.
Have a chapter on the return of Jesus in which I talk about, is Jesus just coming all at one time or is He coming in stages? And
mm-hmm.
I try to point out that the second coming of Jesus is really going to be in stages, with a rapture first and then the second coming coming later on. I also have a whole chapter on the rapture. What is the rapture? When is the rapture most likely to occur? Who is it going to affect? Is it going to affect only a few Christians or all Christians? Do you have to be a specially pious Christian to be taken out? Do you have to be a Christian with special gifts to be taken out? What is it all about? And why is this going to occur? And then I have a whole new chapter on the tribulation, in which I try to point out some of the misconceptions that people have about the tribulation. And I try to point out what is the tribulation all about. And I try to make the point that you often make in your preaching, and that is that when God pours out His wrath, the fundamental purpose is not to punish. The fundamental purpose is to bring people to repentance so that they might be saved. Boy, what a God we have.
Amen.
God of grace, right?
That's right.
Amen.
Folks, for those of you that have just tuned in, I'm interviewing Dr. David Reagan concerning his new book, God's Plan for the Ages. Dave, the fourth section of your book is entitled Prophetic Signs. Now, isn't that the section that's been expanded the most from the previous book?
Well, yes, it is, Dennis. This is the one that has, in fact, seven new chapters.
Seven new chapters. You're a busy boy there for a while.
Oh, well, that's right. And the two chapters that are repeated have been completely rewritten. So the whole thing is new. But I've got seven new chapters here. And, for example, one of them is on modern-day signs of the times. I asked the question, are there signs that exist today that have never existed before in the history of mankind?
That's a great question.
And you and I both know that there are. There are some things that are unique to our day and age that clearly show that we are living in the season of the Lord's return. I have one on the exponential curve. That sometimes causes people's eyeballs to roll back in their head because they figure that has to do with mathematics, and it does. But I explain that all of life in the end times, the Bible prophesies, is going to be on an exponential curve, transportation, communication, everything is going to be changing very rapidly. Population will be growing very rapidly. And the 20th century was the century of the exponential curve. Every aspect of life was on the exponential curve.
That was good and bad, I suppose.
Well, that's right. For example, the deterioration of society was on an exponential curve going down.
Yeah.
The transportation was on an exponential curve going up, but also the preaching of the gospel all over the world was 70% of all of the preaching of the gospel that's been done in history was done in the 20th century due to modern technology. And then I have one on growing apostasy in the church. This is not a happy chapter. This is about, I ask the question, are we witnessing the emergence of the one world church? And I point out that apostasy and heresy is just rampant in the church today, and that not only is it rampant, but it's leading to what I consider to be the establishment of a one world church under the Antichrist himself.
Now, wait a minute. You're talking about all this evangelism going on, and then you're talking about all this apostasy. How can there be both of these?
Why don't you explain that? I've heard you preach on that.
Well, I'm going to give you your chance, brother.
Well, you preach such a great sermon on it. I mean, it has to do with that parable that Jesus told where he talked about the tares and the wheat. And the people came and said, well, should we separate them? I said, no, just let them grow together.
I'll
do the separating when I come. And it's a prophecy that in the end times you're going to have in the church itself, a growing apostasy and those who are growing close to the Lord, depending upon whether or not they're opening themselves up to the Holy Spirit or whether they're turning that off and getting involved with the world. I mean, you can turn on TV today and you can see people preaching gross apostasy and heresy, and you can see people preaching the Bible.
Right.
So it's growing side by side, mm-hmm. Yes. And then another one I talked about was the emphasis of cults. What is their importance? And people sometimes wonder why a Bible prophecy teacher is concerned about cults, but you know as well as I do that Jesus in Matthew 24, when he talked about the end times, he focused on that. He mentions only one he mentions three times. Watch out for false Christs. Watch out for false prophets. There'll be some in the end times that can even appear to perform miracles of one kind, of, you know, in the power of Satan.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're operating in the Word of God. So we are to test everything by the Word of God. And that's a real concern of mine because most Christians seem to be so biblically illiterate today that they don't know how to test things by the Word of God. So I talk about that. I talk about your favorite topic in the next one, and that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the end times.
Yeah.
You know, what is that? How is it manifested? The Bible talks about two great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, the early rains, the latter rains. We're in the latter rains right now. I believe we've been in the latter rains ever since the 20th century began, but certainly since the Jews were reestablished in 1948 when Billy Graham's ministry took off in 1949, a year later.
A number of others were raised up at that time.
Oh, man, we have been in a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's manifested in the preaching of the gospel, manifested in the resurrection of Davidic praise worship. It manifested in so many ways. And the rediscovery of the Holy Spirit himself is one of the evidences. Because when the 20th century began, both Catholics and Protestants had written off the Holy Spirit, retired in the first century, died out with the last apostle. Now suddenly we realize the Holy Spirit's alive and well. I have a chapter on the revival of Davidic praise worship, which you know is one of my favorite topics.
Absolutely.
I could talk about almost all along. And then I have that last one, the most important sign of all.
Now, what is the most important sign of all then? Tell us.
Well, the most important sign...
Now, you're not going to say by the book, are you?
by the book, you'll find out. No, the most important sign, I believe, more important than any other sign in the 20th century, the most important one is the regathering of the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth. More important than World War I, more important than World War II, more important than nuclear power, walking on the moon, collapse of communism, rise of Islam, the regathering of the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth, because that puts into effect the end time events that the Bible predicts.
Well, Dave, the last section of your book is entitled Prophetic Hope. What's the purpose of this section?
Well, the purpose of this section is to summarize all the glorious promises that God has given us about the future. And I tell you, they are glorious.
Amen.
It gives meaning to Romans 8, verse 18, which says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is yet to be revealed to us. And I tell you, Dennis, there's a lot of people suffering mightily, and yet it says it's nothing compared to the glory that is coming. Now, Dennis, before you ask me another question, I want to turn the tables on you for just a moment.
I don't think that you
folks,
told me about this.
I want to... mentioned the fact that this year we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of this ministry. And for 12 of those years, Dennis has been my associate. He has been there to encourage me, lift up my arms. He has written wonderful articles for our magazine. He has done great radio programs. He has been here with me on television. The two of us have conducted Bible prophecy conferences all over the United States, all over the world. I couldn't have dreamed of a better colleague. In March, Dennis revealed to us that God had placed on a call on his heart to start a new ministry of evangelism and healing with an initial focus on Africa. Our board of trustees confirmed that vision and released Dennis to pursue it. He has since found a new ministry called the Spirit of Grace. And I want you to know we are excited about this new ministry. And I would like for Dennis to tell you how you can get in touch with him to get on his mailing list, assist him in prayer and finances, and invite him to speak at your church. Dennis, tell the folks how they can get in touch.
Check out our website, SOGMIN.org. SOG for Spirit of Grace, MIN for Ministries, SOGMIN.org.
Now, I said you had initial focus on Africa. I know you really have a heart for Africa, but you're also doing a lot of meetings and conferences and seminars here in the United States, right?
Yeah, it's both. It's not that I'm going to be in Africa all the time or anything like that, but God's put Africa on my heart to go there and do evangelism and teach pastors and train leaders. So we'll be doing that. Also here in the U.S., I'll be teaching on Bible prophecy, spiritual renewal, spiritual awakening. It's always been a big thing on my heart that God's put in me. So be doing conferences here as well as in Africa.
And I tell you, folks, if you want someone who knows how to preach evangelistically, to get people to the altar, to get them there on their face weeping before the Lord, that's Dennis Pollack. I tell you, when he gets in the pulpit and starts speaking and the Spirit comes on him, I tell you what, it is something to behold. And I think the Lord has also been moving recently in recent times with regard to healing, hasn't he?
In Africa particularly, we've
yes.
seen some incredible healings. We saw a young girl that had her ears open. We saw a small child that hadn't talked at all that started to talk, and several things of those nature. We just had many reports.
I think a lot of that has to do with the faith of those people, that they have childlike faith that they can be healed by God.
I really believe that too.
Well, Dennis, you have been a great blessing to me and to this ministry, and I'm just going to pray earnestly for you. And in fact, we've been praying that the Lord would bless you mightily, that He would magnify your voice, that He would extend your ministry literally worldwide. You've got some exciting days ahead of you.
I believe that.
And I want to just say, folks, that Dennis will continue to appear with me on this program from time to time, as he has the time. And speaking of time, our time is up for this week. Until next week, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries, saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.
Dr. Reagan's book, God's Plan for the Ages, contains a comprehensive overview of all aspects of Bible prophecy. It's written in an easy-to-understand, down-to-earth style that you'll find appealing. In addition to all the prophecies concerning the first and second comings of the Messiah, it deals with a host of other prophetic questions, such as, what happens when you die? What will heaven be like? What's the future of the earth? Where is the United States in prophecy? When is the rapture most likely to occur? Is the Antichrist alive today? Are there signs of the times that are unique to our day and age? The book contains a variety of charts and diagrams which illustrate various aspects of Bible prophecy. The book is available for a gift of $15 or more. To get a copy of it, please call 1-800-225-7977 and request a copy by name. God's Plan for the Ages. That number again is 1-800-225-7977. The book contains 42 exciting chapters about Bible prophecy and runs a total of 415 pages. Again, it can be yours for a gift of $15 or more. Call 1-800-225-7977 today and request a copy. Consider ordering an extra copy for your pastor or church library. For more information, go to our website, lamblion.com. where you can order books, DVDs, and other materials. You can also view some of our TV programs and magazines online, or you can research and print any of our extensive library of articles.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministries, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.